Praise God. Well, last week was Easter, so we talked about, went in a certain direction. We talked about righteousness, and actually I talked a little bit long. My clock was running out of batteries, and I thought I was ahead. I was actually like one of the longer sermons I've preached, but we covered a lot of ground, but I just felt we ought to stay there just at least this week, talk about some things. So we're going to do that. We'll get back to the other series at some point. But why don't you go ahead and turn over to Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21. We'll just do a quick review. Well, we'll see. We'll go where we need to go. But just couldn't go to the next thing. Thank you, Lord. Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21. Thank God. It says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Whose righteousness is it talking about? Jesus. Talking about His righteousness, not our righteousness. Now, I touched on this. We just talked about this on Wednesday nights not that long ago. I have four messages on that. So if you miss those, we go into this a lot. It was just, I don't know, a month or two ago. So look for those. We were talking about the seven steps to the highest kind of faith, and we talked about knowing the reality of our righteousness in Christ. The reality of our righteousness in Christ, and we talked about our righteousness in Christ, which is different than your white righteousness, just the way you behave. There's two different things. People look to themselves and say, "Well, I had a bad day." Or, "I woke up and I don't feel good. I don't feel holy. I don't feel like God is there. And so, well, something happened." Well, if you go by feelings, you'll be all over the place. There's times when if I went by feelings, I wouldn't go up and preach. You don't go by feelings. And so, when we're talking about His righteousness, we're talking about the righteousness that was purchased for us on the cross by Jesus, and that we received by faith. We're not talking about what you do and don't do. Now, that has something to do with it as far as if you do something, your conscience will bother you, but we talked about that last week. You can get that taken care of. Just go before God and say, "God, I blew it." Don't try to hide it, because your conscience won't let you hide it. But that's easy to go and get that taken care of, and we don't have time to go over that. Go listen to last week's message, or we go into in-depth on that other series. That's not what I want to focus on today. But we need to know that we are, if we're Christians, if we're born-again Christians, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That it's His righteousness. See, it says, now, let's read through this again, then we'll review a little bit, get going. "But now the righteousness of," who? "Of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Christ Jesus." That's how you obtain this righteousness. It's not by you doing, it's something that you could only believe for. It was purchased for you. It's too big for you to get on your own.
Yeah. Come
on. You couldn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if your righteousness or the righteousness, the good works, if you will, of every human being on the face of the earth, if the best person is on like Mount Everest, and the worst person's in the depths of the ocean. If you that might be one thing if you're standing there at sea level going, wow, I mean, those people, they have a get-together. Look at Mount Everest, and then, man, that dude, you can't even see him. They're so dark under there in the ocean, gone. But if you're looking at it from space, and you see the Earth, and then you look at it compared to, say, the moon, or to, say, like, Jupiter, and then you look at the Earth, you can't tell the difference. Once you get far enough, you cannot tell the difference between Mount Everest and the oceans. You can maybe see it's blue, but you cannot see height, can you? No. In other words, if you look at the Earth, you don't see blips as far as the mountains and whatever. If you're far enough back, it just looks like a sphere. And then you see the distance between the Earth and the moon. When you're talking about that distance, the distance between the ocean's depths and Mount Everest is nothing. And the fact is, that's similar and not even a good analogy of what Jesus did for us. When he died on that cross, he bought the difference between being under the dominion of sin and Satan to being in the family of Almighty God. You can't do it. You can't. I don't care how good the best person on the face of earth cannot buy that. Why? Because it can't be bought by a man. You are under the dominion of Satan, whether you know it or not, whether somebody on this earth knows it or not. They were actually in the family. They were under the dominion of them. We got lots on that. You can go back and listen to those messages too. I don't have time really to go there. But Adam sinned and bowed his knee to Satan. And we're all his descendants. And so, we were under the dominion of sin and Satan. Jesus redeemed us once we received it by faith. And we were made righteous. So you were made righteous. So you didn't do anything to obtain that with your what you did, your behavior. You did it by believing.
That's right.
By faith in Jesus. And if you know that and believe it, this will buoy you up. But to walk in that, you have to maintain a consciousness of this. It's got to be real to you. And that's really, I think, what we'll get into today. But let's read through this. I could preach on every verse. Let's try to get through it. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who what? Who believe. It didn't say if you do certain things. It says if you believe. That's the only way. Because Jesus was the only one that could do this kind of heavy lifting. You couldn't. I couldn't. Impossible. And legally, Satan could not. Jesus' blood's the only thing that could take us back. Some man had to come to earth. That's Jesus. Jesus was born as a man. He redeemed us. He did do it all perfectly. And by us believing on him, we can be made righteous. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified. Now that means to be declared righteous. When you see justified, it's to be declared righteous. When you talk about being declared righteous, you're talking about being justified. Like someone said, a good definition of that is just as if I'd never sinned. It's just like you never did anything wrong. Has Jesus ever done anything wrong? No. Whose righteousness are you dealing with? His. It's your. He who have been made the righteousness of God, not yours. This is the grounds on which you approach God. This is where people get messed up in their head. You start approaching God based on what you've done and not done, and think you earned something because you did something or didn't do it. You're already on quicksand. You're not going to make it.
It's good.
Because it doesn't have anything to do with you.
That's right.
Now, if you mess up and you let your conscience will keep you from just being bold. So you got to get that taken care of. Don't try to do that. But it's not a matter of what's been purchased for you. That's purchased. The righteousness of God didn't change because you messed up. Your rights and privileges didn't change. Just because you feel bad does not mean Jesus suddenly become unrighteous. He didn't. Your standing is exactly the same.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God that just because you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, you didn't all of a sudden get out of the family of God. Well, he doesn't feel like it, so I guess he's kicked it. Imagine if your home, your family were like that. You woke up feeling in a bad mood, and your wife or your husband kicks you out of bed and says, I don't want to be married to you again. You're out. And as soon as you feel better, come back. What does your feelings have to do with it? I'm telling you, if you're married and you don't feel like it, guess what? You're still married. Right? How many of you last time, you may have felt like you wish it worked this way, but if you felt like you weren't married, did that change the fact that you're in this thing? That you're married? Did it change? Well, I just wish I never married you. The person's still there looking. Your wife or your husband's still there going, too bad. I'm here. You want to keep arguing or what? Let's go at it. Right? Well, I just married the wrong person. If you're married, you're married. You might as well just get that out of the way. It is not, doesn't matter. They're the right one now. Did you hear me? Oh, I hit a nerve there. Well, I married the wrong one. I just believe it wasn't God's plan for me. I married this. If you're married, they're the right one now. Before God, they are the right person. God doesn't say, well, you get divorced, that's fine. Just go find the right one. They are the right one now. Amen? Amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. But it's true either way. It's the truth. So, didn't mean to get off on that, but just because you don't feel like you're in the family of God or somehow I blew it, so God just couldn't love me, has nothing to do with the fact that Jesus bought and paid for your sin and you received it. You're in the family. Thank God that just because you woke up and felt like you're not worthy, that you just didn't get kicked out of the family. Thank God it's not by your feelings or my feelings. It's not. No, it's by what Jesus did for you and you received. We got to know that that's a constant. Verse 24, being justified freely. This is one of my favorite subjects. We could preach for 3 years on this. But being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate whose? His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier. Justifier means the one that declares righteous. He might be the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Did you notice that? God justifies, declares righteous those that believe in Jesus. And let me tell you something. He has justified you and declared you righteous, but you have to maintain and take that in your own consciousness, because if you start going by what you feel or by what you see, you can act exactly like you're not righteous, even though you are, and experience the results of not being righteous, even though it is fully yours, bought and paid for, your rights. If you don't take it and act on it and believe it, you can go through life acting like you're not in the family of God, acting like nothing is yours, and all the time it is. This is exactly what the enemy does to Christians. If he can't stop you from getting into the kingdom of God and receiving Jesus, now he wants to get you to the place where he can cheat you out of it, where he can cheat you out of believing, where he can convince you that I feel so bad or I did something, so therefore I don't have a right to approach the throne of God. And if you understand what we're talking about today, you won't be duped. You won't be pushed around. You'll take it regardless. You'll take your rights and privileges regardless. Let's look on your sheet there. We got to go through some of these things. See if I can get place I really want to get to here, but let's go through this. But let's just look on your sheet for the sake of time. Romans 4:24, it says, it shall be, talking about righteousness, verse 24, Romans 4, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up for our offenses and was raised because of our justification. What shall be imputed in context? It's the righteousness. Righteousness shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. So let's look at this. Let's do it this way. Let's look at those next few scriptures in Corinthians. Then I think we'll go down a little bit further. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if you didn't hear last week's message, I encourage you, go listen to it. We're not going to cover all that ground. If you didn't listen, if you haven't heard those Wednesday messages on righteousness, go listen to those. This is going to fill in a lot. I want to get to a certain part that I want to focus on today. I can't re-preach all those. 2 Corinthians, so if this is foreign to you or you're not sure, go immerse yourself in those. Go listen to them. Go listen to them more than once. We covered a lot in that last message. It kind of was a nutshell about all this stuff. Put a lot together, so I would encourage you, go listen to it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Is that true or not?
Yes.
Some people would balk at that, religious people. But it's right here, we're reading it. God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin. Why? For us. That we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ, in Jesus. Did it say in you?
No.
We got to get this straight. It's not in you. Does that mean you're going to do everything perfect? No, but you can deal with that. We're not going to get into that, but I want to focus on the fact you have to know it's a constant. Jesus is not going like this. Thank God. Your right standing, your justification, your standing with God does not change. It doesn't go up and down. You have to think about it. Your rights and privileges as, let's say, in a married relationship, it doesn't change because of the dynamics of any given day. I'm talking about your rights and privileges as a husband or wife. Now, different things may happen in the household based on how you act, but you're talking about a right standing, your rights. Do you hear me? Did I lose some people? In other words, like we were talking about before, just because you had a bad day, you're still married. Well, you have to know that anything that Jesus has bought and purchased for you is because of what he did. It doesn't have to do with you going up and down. Not that you're supposed to go up and down or all over. It doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter that you didn't do something quite perfect. You have to know that it's based on what he did and your ability to believe that. How do you believe it? You just believe what the word says. And if the word says something, you say, I believe that. I'm going to act on that. We're going to get to that. It's not based on what you think about it or what you feel about it. This is how we actually possess the reality of what Jesus bought and paid for. Let's go through this real quick. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Yeah. Now, I want to skip down so I can get into some of this. Let's go down to John 3. We'll just do it on your sheet there. John 3. We're going to skip over some of these. We went through a lot of these other ones last week. I encourage you again, go back. So we are, what did we just read in 2 Corinthians? It says that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, if you're a Christian, if you've received Jesus, then something happened to you in your spirit. You were made the righteousness of God in him. That's what we are. Now, look at John 3. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with them. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. People say, well, born again, that's a Christian easy word. That's in the Bible. Now, you're not talking about physically being born again. You're not talking about being changed physically. You're talking about your inner man, the real you, the one, the spirit is going to be recreated. We just read over in 2 Corinthians. Look back there real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation. When you become born again, it literally means in the spirit, you are born again. And who's your father? God. Now, we talked about that on Wednesday nights. I'm telling you. If you can get to Wednesday nights, get there. We talk about a lot of things in depth that relate to faith and healing and these type of things. But God is your very own father. You had to be born into this family.
Yes.
You could not get your way, just make your way in. You had to be born into the family. So when people talk about generational curses and stuff, you may be talking about certain things in the flesh and people acting weird and, you know, passing down behaviors. But when people get all woo-woo about it and say, whoa, generation, you're cursed and everything. It's in the... What is your bloodline once you're born again? Spiritually, you, God the Father, you have your big brother Jesus. That's your bloodline. There is no curse in that. There's no curse. So when somebody says, well, I don't know, it might be cursed. No, you're not. If the devil can convince you that you're cursed, now you have a problem. This is what he does. Fear. Well, you might be cursed. Well, I might be. No. Why? You got to know who you are. No, I was born again into this family. I know who my father is. It's God. I know what my big brother Jesus did. He bought and paid for everything that I need to be right with the Father. So shut up.
Come on, that's good. That's good.
There's no curse that's coming to me. The curse causeless shall not alight, Proverbs says. Amen. So no, verse, let's read in John, go back to John 4. Or John 3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. You have to believe on Jesus. You have to believe on him. How does that happen? Look back on your sheet there. Romans 10, look at verse 9. Just look at it in the New King James. There's the Amplified there and then the New King James. Look at it in the New King James. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That tells you exactly how to get born again right there. Or saved. Verse 13, what does it say? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is not just church creed or doctrine. This is the Bible. This is what we call the new birth, being born again. Why are we talking about this? Because this is exactly how you become righteous.
Come on, that's good.
If you don't understand that you were born into the family, made righteous, and all you did, it was independent of you. All you did is believe in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. That's what you did, is believe it. It's there for every person on the face of the earth. God has reached his hand out, but they have to take it. How do you take it? You believe. This is telling you how to be born again. Let's just read it one more time. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart, what's your heart? That's the real you. That's your spirit. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now go back over to John. Look at verse 4. It says, Nicodemus said to him, so verse 3, he says, most assuredly I say to you, Jesus says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What? You have to be born again to be in this kingdom. Now, the Jewish people had a relationship with God, but it was based on this old covenant. They couldn't be children of God like we are. In other words, they weren't born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? See, he's thinking naturally. He's saying, what? I'm going to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? How is that possible? See, he's thinking naturally. It says, can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answers and most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and what?
Spirit.
The Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. He's saying, wait, you're thinking naturally. That's of flesh is a flesh. That's of which is of spirit is a spirit. He's not talking about natural things. He's talking about spiritual things. Why do we say this? Because in the spirit, spiritually, you were made righteous.
Yeah.
And it was independent of you.
That's right.
The real you. So you have to know this because things are going to hit your mind and you're going to walk through this curse-filled world and it's going to try to tell you, you are not righteous. You do not have right standing with God. Why would you think you have the right to expect anything from God? And you can be duped by it. And it can feel very, very real because it is real. That part is real. The pushing on you is real, but it can be lies. Lies can seem real. Otherwise, lies are usually have a little bit of truth in them or something that looks like it can be truth. Otherwise, nobody would take it as truth at all. Well, the enemy, Satan is a master liar. So he'll push on you. He'll push on your senses. He'll tell you, how dare you think that you have the right to accept or to receive anything from God? Look at you. Look at what you just did on the job, or you are not doing everything you're supposed to be doing. Look at you as a father. Look at you as a mother. Look at you in school. Look at you. You call yourself a Christian, and he will come to condemn you and accuse you. Why? To get you to release your claim on being righteous and deserving anything from God.
Yeah.
Because he can't take it from you. And he knows he's whipped. He knows what Jesus did. He knows what you're carrying on the inside. He knows you are the temple of Almighty God. It says in Corinthians, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He knows this, and he knows he can't deal with that. But what he can do is try to get you to believe that none of that matters because you don't feel good or you're looking at something in the natural. And if he can get that, you'll back away from any claims, and then you're acting just as good as if you weren't born again. That's what he's trying to do. He's a deceiver. He tries to get you to believe. So how do you get around that? How do you deal with that? So we're the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus has made us righteous through his sacrifice and by us believing on it and taking that and acting on it. Okay, how do you walk in it? One of the key ways you walk in it is by declaring what the Word says at all times. You don't start saying, I don't believe it, I don't feel like it, I don't see this, I don't understand. You say what the Word says. Turn over to Mark 11, 22. We just want to get into this a little bit. Mark 11, 22. On your way over to Mark, go ahead and get there. I want to look back at something, though. Mark 11, 22. Go over and turn there. Mark 11:22. So before you go there, just leave that open. Look on your sheet back there in Romans 10:9. Look what it says. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. That's how you got born again. You believe unto righteousness. Notice it says, with your mouth, or with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Now look at Mark 11, 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt, where?
In his heart.
He didn't say anything about your head. He said your heart. If he does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, he will have whatever he says. Let's read it again. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So just like you got born again, it said confession, said, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need to apply this to our righteousness just like we would apply it to anything. In other words, you need to say that you are righteous and believe it. Where? In your heart, not in your head. Not in your flesh. Not you feel, you woke up, I just feel so bad. I just feel like God has left me. I just don't feel like I'm right with God. Okay? What does that have to do with you being made the righteousness of God in Christ?
Nothing.
I just don't feel like it. I haven't felt this bad in 5 years. God, I feel like God has left me. I don't know if I'm even saved. What are you, how, number one, how do you know you're saved? What did we just read? In Romans 10, 8 or 10, 9, what does it say? It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So were you saved because you said some stuff and you felt good?
No.
It didn't have anything to do with how you felt, right? So tell me again, how do you know that you're saved? The Word said that if you do these things, you would be saved. Now, if you didn't do these things, you need to make sure you're saved. Not because somebody told you you were saved. But if you're saved, and you know why you're saved, and you know how you got saved, then you waking up and feeling like the worst that you felt in 5 years and that God has forsaken you, that has nothing to do with you being saved. So, you saying, I just feel so bad. I have not felt this bad. I don't know. Where is God? Where is God in all this? I don't know. I mean, what is God doing for me in this situation? I mean, I feel like horrible. I've done this wrong and I've done... What are you saying at this point? Are you saying what the Word says?
No, no.
What are you confessing? You're not confessing. You're not saying, I don't care. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I know it may have looked like I've done something stupid 18 times in a row, but I'll tell you what. I am still the righteousness of God in Christ. I've dealt with that, and between me and God, I'm clean. Just as clean as I can be. Because of Jesus, I'm clean. And therefore, I have every right and every privilege to take part of anything He's bought for me now. You start, see, you need to talk like that. But I just don't feel like it. If you wait till you feel good before you start talking, you will stay there. Or, you know what, you'll go day after day just waking up, oh, I just still don't feel good. Wake up all day, just hope it changes. And then something may happen 9 days later where something, this little bright sun, maybe the sun's shining that day, maybe somebody says hi to you and you say, oh, I feel good. I'm back on track now. You know how long that's going to last? Till when something happens that somebody says something, you, man, I feel good now. Yeah, God is real. I believe it. And you start to feel good and then somebody says something to you a little crossways and you're like, ah, lost it. Don't feel like I could believe for anything. Come pray for me. Oh, no, I'm off. I can't pray for you. Yeah, I just don't have it. Just wait. Wait, and I'll get back on. Don't, you know, just got to wait till I feel. Got to feel the power. Then I'll do it. We don't wait till we feel it. You start saying, you just go back and read. If you have to read it, in 2 Corinthians you say, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, in Him. That means I'm righteous. That means I'm righteous. I am righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means I am in right standing with God. That means I'm declared righteous. That means I'm justified. That means I can stand before God boldly. Right now, that means God is on my side. Devil, shut up and leave. See, you can get yourself back to where you need to be. You have to believe and say, believe in your heart and say, and you will have what you say. If you just stay the other way, you could go through the rest of your life feeling like you don't have anything before God, and all the while you were the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which means that you have everything the Word says you can have. See, we can shout and holler like we did, you know, last week on Easter. Thank God we celebrate the risen Christ. But if it is just, man, I love when we hear a message on righteousness. I love when I just hear that. Just buoys me up. Yeah, for about a few hours till you go back to normal life. And then you go back to way seeing and feeling and not acting on what we said. If we don't act on it on a daily basis, what good is it? What, so I can say I go to a church that we believe the righteousness of God. We know who we are. Let me tell you one thing. We hear somebody say something. Well, that's not true. I mean, I know I'm the righteous. But if we don't act like it, and every time something doesn't go right, well, I just don't know if I can believe, then we don't really understand it. This is how we actually walk in it. This is one way. By what we say. And we need to say what God says regardless of what it looks like. You still say, no, I'm righteous today. And if you'll start saying it, you'll see something different happening in your life than the way maybe what has been going on when you start saying what the Word says. Look in Joel on your sheet there, Joel 3:10. It says, beat your plowshares into swords and pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am so weak. Man, I feel bad today. I don't know what is... I'm not going out with you guys. Good luck. Take my sword with you because it will do me no good. Yeah. Yours doesn't say that. It says, let the weak say. Let the weak say what?
I am strong.
Let the weak say what?
I am strong.
But he's weak. Why would he say I'm strong? Isn't that lying? Evidently not. God, it says in Romans 4, he calls the things that do not exist as though what? They do. When he said, let there be light, there wasn't light. But he said, it will be. When he called Abraham, or Abram, the father of many nations, he said, I call you Abraham. He wasn't. He wasn't in the natural, but God said, it's a done deal. Well, I just don't feel like I'm righteous. I guess I'll wait till I feel like I'm going to say what is, because that's what you do. You don't call stuff the way They're not, I mean, I just call it like it is. Well, you call it like it is. If you're having a bad day, you just say, I'm having a bad day. I'm having a bad day. Bad day. This is the worst day ever. And you see if it goes good from there. It goes up. No, in the midst of it, we need to start saying, it may be a bad day, but it's not over yet. I still know Jesus. I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and He can turn it around. I believe in Him. He's on my side right now. In the midst of all this nonsense, He's still on my side. You watch. He can still come through. And He has come through. He sent Jesus. I believe I got it made already. Shut up, devil. We already know what your end is going to be. We already read the back of the book. We know where he's going. You're telling me I have it rough? You have it rough. What are you talking about? Why are you coming to me? We know where you're going. You're going to be bound. You're going to be thrown in the lake. What are you talking to me for? No, I am in the family of God. What are you? He's trying to lie. See, you start turning the tables like that. He's not going to stay around. But if you say, oh, man, it is bad. You're right. Oh, I feel so bad. Gosh, I feel so bad. Tell the next person that comes in, man, I feel bad. I feel bad. That's not going to help. Not going to help. Now, did I say this is just super easy on your flesh? No, your flesh just wants to moan and tell everybody how bad it is and stay right there. And it just, you know, just be sad. It's the truth. Until it feels good, it might feel good a little bit, but then, you know, whatever. Or if it feels good, it wants to feel good. But it does not want to be told what to do. And for you to tell your mouth, man, I feel bad, but I'm going to say what I feel, your flesh will fight you if it's not trained this way. It'll say, I don't want to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. Have you ever dealt with a little toddler? You're trying to get them to eat, and they're like, you try to get it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to eat that. You can only go so far making a kid eat, right? I mean, you can get it in, but at that point, well, if your flesh is like that, no, I'm not going to say it. You have to just take it by the scruff of the neck and say, you are going to say this. You say it by faith. You don't wait till you feel like it. Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now look at, we go read the verses right before that in Hebrews. It says, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Notice that. He has already perfected forever those who are being sanctified. You know what sanctified means? It means you're being set apart. It means you're getting there. Didn't say you're walking in perfection. But he has perfected you. Your spirit has been born again. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you're being made into the image of Christ. And in that process, you can still walk according to what God says. You can still, he already bought and purchased it for us, put us into the family, in spite of the fact that we still have some junk to work out. Thank God. If you didn't have any junk to work out, why did you need Jesus? You could have done it yourself. Really? Spotless, you know, you just walked right through. No, he's the only one that did it for us. Verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds, in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living